Jesus Christ, destroy death and brought life to light through the gospel.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
As Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a sizable crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind man, the son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside begging. On hearing that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have pity on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he kept calling out all the more, "Son of David, have pity on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, get up, Jesus is calling you." He threw aside his cloak, sprang up, and came to Jesus. Jesus said to him in reply, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man replied to him, "Master, I want to see." Jesus told him, "Go your way. Your faith has saved you." Immediately he received his sight and followed him on the way. The Gospel of the Lord. At the end of October each year, we face this time when it seems darker each day, a little darker each day. And unless we have sunshine to break through the clouds, we really have a difficult time negotiating, seeing how we are to travel about. We find if we leave early for work, our car needs the lights on. And then we have to remember to turn them off unless you have some modern car where the lights go on and off automatically, which mine used to have, which now it didn't, and then it did. And it surprises me with dead batteries. We learn to navigate. Bartimaeus wanted to see. He wanted to see. And Jesus says a curious thing to him. When he says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man says, "Master, I want to see." Jesus says, "Go your way. I restore your sight to you." No. He says, "Go your way. Your faith has saved you. Your faith has saved you." And so he says to us today, our faith, our faithfulness has saved us. We want to see, and our faith saves us. The people in the time of the prophet Jeremiah were taken away into captivity. But Jeremiah's voice is heard at the end of the exile. "Shout with joy for Jacob, exalt at the head of the nations. Proclaim your praise and say, the Lord has delivered his people, the remnant of Israel." All of Israel's best were taken into the captivity by the Babylonians, and they became slaves for those hard 70 years. Imagine it. You're living in Israel, especially in Jerusalem. In that year, what year was it? 590 BC. And the armies come from the north, and they ramrod through the wall, and they take the king and the queen and the princes and all the elite, all the artisans, all the people that could do anything in commerce, and their wealth, and they make them slaves in Babylon. And they become smaller and smaller and smaller. And at the end of that time, do they think, God has forsaken us? Why did God do this to me? Why did God allow my friends and neighbors all to be slaughtered? Why am I alive? Is that what they said? No. Because the Lord God went with them into exile. He let them see that it was their infidelity, their lack of faith, that had brought them to this time of crisis. But he did not let them die. And while none that left ever came back, their grandchildren did. The prophet continues, "Behold, I will bring them back from the land of the north. I will gather them from the ends of the world, with the blind and the lame in their midst." God was concerned even for the least of the people, the blind, the lame. "Mothers and those with child, they shall return as an immense throng. They departed in tears, but I will console them and guide them. I will lead them to brooks of water, on a level road, so that none shall stumble, for I am a father to Israel." God promised them to bring them back. And God promises to bring us back, even at times that are hard, even at those times which we cannot see God's face because we are in such pain, even at times when other people are jeering at us, "You Catholics, you are all hypocrites, you bigots, you people don't know what you're talking about. Look at your priests, they're all a bunch of pedophiles." We hear this day by day, but we know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We have faith in him. We know that he is our only way. Bartimaeus gained his sight that day and followed him on the way. Bartimaeus didn't just say, "Gee, thanks, God. Thanks, that's great. Now I can go about my life as though nothing ever was wrong. Nothing needs changing." No. He immediately received his sight and followed Jesus on the way. We cannot know whether he followed him faithfully throughout his life. Some people to start to follow Jesus, and then they give up because the world or worldly things lead them elsewhere. But I do believe that through the centuries, the saints have been led by Jesus along the way. Many great saints. Many great saints. We're coming up on the great solemnity of All Saints, when we celebrate those whose names we do not remember. Throughout the year, we celebrate feast days of saints. But on the festival of All Saints, we remember them all, those known to God alone. And we also commemorate on All Souls Day all the poor souls in purgatory, our friends and relations who haven't gone to hell, but are still being purified by the Lord in his grace and his mercy. Today, because we're coming up on All Saints, we're going to have a little bit of a special presentation by our children, who are mostly going to be French children, because we have St. Martin de Tours and we have St. Thérèse of Lisieux. And I showed the children earlier that because they dressed up like St. Thérèse and other French saints, we have the relic of St. Thérèse on the altar just below the cross. So I would like to turn this time over to the children to let us know something about the wonderful lives of the saints.